How are you all doing today? How are you all feeling? You know, I was just struck by there was so many people that are sick right now. Just a lot of stuff going around. It's hard being sick, you know. You were sick and you're back now. But so let's just take a moment just to pray for our friends and family that are not well right now, because it's discouraging, to say the least, and we need God's help. Father, thank you for your strength that you give us, Lord, and the patience you give us to deal with the maladies and the ailments of the flesh of this world, the things that are going around. Lord, we just pray for you to heal and strengthen those that are not well today, Lord, and bring them back to fellowship. And we just pray that you would have your hand upon them. They would know your presence in these difficult times, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles. We're starting chapter 2 of the book of James. Let's open to James chapter 2. You thought we'd never get to chapter 2. We actually are there. Patrick finished chapter 1 last week. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. He talked about, you know, religion and the difference between religion and relationship. Is it just an outward thing we do, or is it coming from the heart? And really, that's what it gets down to. But a relationship with God will bring fruit, and it will bring action. And what James talks about is looking after those that are in need, the orphans and the widows, and then also to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world around us. That's what faith will do. That's what true religion will do. That's what God accepts and desires from us. Now today in chapter 2, he starts talking about a different problem. This is a problem in the church, and it was an ongoing problem even up to today. And that problem is called favoritism. And some versions call it respect of persons. Let's read James chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It says this: "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism or respect of persons. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes, say, 'Here's a good seat for you.' But say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit on the floor by my feet.' Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong, that name of Jesus, the name of God?" So James starts off in this chapter. Really, the theme kind of goes throughout the whole book is our faith real? Does it come out in our lives? Is it true faith, true religion? In chapter 1, he talked about, you know, our speech, how we talk is an indicator of our faith. And now here, he's talking about how we treat people. That's also an indicator of our faith, how we treat people around us. He says, "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism." As believers, they were practicing this, and he kind of gets pretty harsh with them, hard with them. Don't show favoritism. Don't respect people. You know, the truth of the matter is that we have been trained. And this is in us. Let's be honest. We do it all the time. We've been trained, you know, who we admire, who do we look up to, who do we emulate. It's the famous, right? It's those that have a lot of money. That's who we kind of look to. It's the social status of those that are up on the top. That's the ones that we adore and like fawn over. David Guzik said, It's based on class and ethnicity and nationality and religious background, these kinds of things. We look at people's clothes. We look at the car they drive. We look at the size of the house they have. And in our minds, they kind of go up. They kind of go up in our status, in our minds. Their status kind of goes up. It's this favoritism. It's this partiality. It's this respect of somebody over somebody else. The Blue Letter Bible said that in this case, we prefer as the more worthy one who is rich or one who's high-born or powerful over another who doesn't have those kind of qualities. Say, well, we never do that. But you know what? We do. That's why God's Word tells us about these things. And James was teaching these people, and this is the early church, right? They had to be taught. They had to be told. And that's what God's Word does. It tells us, it teaches us, and then we decide, are we going to believe it? And then are we going to actually obey it? Are we going to do what it says? That's the message of James over and over. So they have this test, right? And we just read it, but there in verse 2, he says, this is the test. That suppose a man coming into your meeting is wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. So we have these visitors come into the church, right? This is the test. One of them, he's got, you know, the big ring, and they say it could mean that he had multiple rings, big gold rings, you know. It's like the big gold chains around the neck. He comes in, wow. And then someone else comes in, and the guy is just obviously poor. He's got, you know, beat up clothes. He doesn't look like he's had a shower for, you know, some time. And when these two people come into the church, how are they judged? How do we judge them? Not how do other people, how do we judge them? We judge, our first judgment is based on what? How they look. How they look. What do they look like? It's this outside appearance. This is what we judge on, this outside appearance. How do they seem to be? I kind of like this. I found this. Is this kind of the way it is? The sanctuary is right this way, Senator. Hello? This guy in the back? This is kind of how we judge people. We judge them by their stature, their status, by their wealth, by these kinds of things. But James is saying, you know what, that's wrong. It's just plain wrong. When the Lord was choosing David to be his king, Samuel, you know, he was told it was one of the brothers of this family, and Samuel looked at the different, you know, brothers, and he saw the, you know, one come in, he was just tall and handsome. He said, that's got to be the one. But God really kind of rebuked him, and the Lord said to Samuel, don't look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. This is a powerful scripture for you and I. The Lord doesn't see things the way we do. He looks right at the heart. And so often we judge immediately by the way a person looks, and we never even have a chance to know what their heart is like. This is people that are coming into the church. We get visitors. And if you're a visitor today, I apologize, but this is just part of the message. But we get visitors, and we look at them and say, what are they all about? And we make a split-second judgment by how they look, their outside appearance. And sometimes we don't even give people a chance because of how they look. And James is saying, this is wrong. Isaiah 55 says, the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. So we need to think about what's the Lord see? How's the Lord thinking? We need to elevate where we are, because we're way down here compared to where God is. We're down on flesh level, on earth level. So I have to ask the question, if we had this test here today, would we pass the test? And be honest with your own heart. You know, and I was thinking if someone walks in, I don't think I would pass the test. I think I would, gravitate toward this one. See, the scripture just kind of tells it like it is. That's what he said to Samuel. Don't look at the things that people look at. People, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I think we need to step back a little bit. You know, I was thinking about Jesus, right? And we have these pictures, these paintings of what Jesus should look like and everything. And where do they get those? There was no cameras. There was nothing back then. Nobody, he didn't sit for any, artist to, render. But Isaiah 53 says this about Jesus. It says that he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. If Jesus walked in, we wouldn't go, wow, look, it's Jesus. We would not even, recognize him. In the chapter before, Isaiah 52, and I believe this is speaking about the things that he went through leading up to the cross and on the cross, he says in Isaiah 52, verse 14, just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. He was beat so bad you couldn't even recognize him as a human being. Would you look at that and say, wow, that's Jesus, that's my Savior? See, we judge by looks, by outward appearance. Jesus was speaking to people in Luke chapter 16. He said, what people value highly is detestable in God's sight. We got to get a different way of thinking about this. Give people a chance. What does he say in verse 3 there in James? He says this, if you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes, say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there. Sit on the floor by my feet. This special attention that we would give to somebody because they look good, because they look like they have a lot of money. But we have no idea what's going on in their hearts. See, he goes on in this passage to talk about the difference in the heart. And that's what really matters, is what's going on inside. Not so much what's going on outside. Now, it is also true that we put on, a show, we put on masks, and we try to act like everything's right. But God knows what's going on in the heart. And sometimes we need to be a little bit more sensitive to one another. Verse 4, he said, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? This is in the church now. This is happening with believers. As believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't do this, he says in verse 1. We make ourselves judges with evil thoughts. I found a few other passages I want to put up for you because they're pretty powerful. Proverbs 14 says, it says, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. But he who honors him has mercy on the needy. So when we have those evil thoughts and judgment and we look down on those that maybe don't have very much, we're actually reproaching the Lord. We're doing something against God. Leviticus chapter 19, it says, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor in a right way. So notice he says, don't be partial to the poor or partial to the mighty or those that are wealthy. Don't just, you know, we can go the other extreme right as well and only, you know, we're partial for those that are only, you know, maybe don't have much. And then we're snubbing those that do. We can't, he says, judge with righteous judgment. And what is that? That's according to a person's heart. Jesus said it in John chapter 7, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. He's speaking the same thing that we see here back in the book of Leviticus. Of course, we know that the Word of God, Jesus knew it inside and out. Verse 5, he goes on there to say this, listen. It's like, listen up, my dear brothers. Again, my dear brothers, he's talking to believers here. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? He says, listen up. Hasn't God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world? Again, it's the eyes of the world. Those are based on what? On appearance. In the eyes of the world sees them, oh, they're just, you know, they got nothing, they don't work hard, they're low life, whatever. We have all these judgments that we pronounce that just come right out of us. We don't even have to think about it, it just comes. But he says he's chosen them to be rich in faith. See, it's got nothing to do with how much money you have. It's got to do with how much faith you have. He says it's not rich in money, but rich in faith. And I wonder, you know, what's more important, that you have a rich faith or a rich bank account? Who's the rich one in reality? Again, God, you know, he turns everything upside down, right? It says in Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's an interesting thing that Paul talks about here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and following. Previous to this, he's talking about, you know, the difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. But he says in verse 26, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And he chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Paul was looking around at the church and he said, you know, there's not a lot of people here that were like at the top end. Most were just like average, maybe. Not many that were, you know, super well off. Not many that were up in the high classes, nobility. I think the point he's making, you know, no flesh would glory in his presence. Nobody would boast, is that, you know, those that have those kinds of things, that they really are actually obstacles. You know, we went to India. I've been there a few times, and you go to India, and the poverty is just, you get off the plane, you get out of the airport, and the poverty just, it like hits you in the face, compared to what we're used to. But you know what? The faith of those people there, it was just astounding. The richness of their faith. I felt like I had no faith at all compared to the faith that they had. It wasn't about the stuff. We think, oh, I'm really blessed. My faith is really strong when we, you know, we get blessed with new stuff and a lot of money and different things. That's not the way they thought at all. They were just glad for what they had, but they had faith. And they had a rich faith. In the book of Revelation, talking to the churches, the letters to the churches, and the church in Smyrna, the Lord says, I know your works, your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. I know you don't have much, but you are rich, he says to them. You know, some of us, you know, we're thinking, you know, I'm just not blessed because I don't have a lot of stuff. But, you know, you might have the riches that are beyond what that person you think has it all has. Someone said this, that the church history demonstrates that comparatively more poor people than rich have responded to the gospel. That doesn't mean that no rich people become believers, famous people become believers, but for the most part, comparatively more on the lower ends have turned to Jesus. Why? Because there weren't these obstacles in the way. Things that they trust in. We can trust in our bank account, and our faith is like absent, not effective, it's not doing anything. In the letter to the Laodiceans, it was actually the opposite. He said to them, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You can have everything and not even know, is what he's saying to them. In Smyrna, chapter 2, he says, you know, you don't have much, but you're rich. Laodicea, he says, you know, you got a lot, but you're poor. You got nothing. You don't have anything. F.B. Meyer said this, the rich man may trust him, that's God, but the poor man must trust. The poor man has no fortress in which to hide except the strong arms of God. You know, sometimes really good looks, they say, are like a curse. You know, we think, if I just hit the lottery, I don't play it, this is just an illustration. If I just hit the lottery, I'm going to be so happy. Everything is going to go my way. You know, look at the studies of what happens to people who hit the lottery. They don't know what to do with it all. It messes up. Messes them up. Be careful what you wish for. Jesus said that the rich would have a hard time getting into the kingdom, right? Like the camel going through the eye of a needle, he says, rich. And then the disciples said, well, then who can be saved? None of us can be saved. He says, but with God, it's possible. With man, it's impossible. With God, it's possible. He says he chose the poor to be rich in faith, to inherit the kingdom that he promised to those who love him. That's eternal life, this eternal kingdom, this home that we have in heaven for those that love him. Again, it's not based on how much you put into the box. It's based on a love relationship with him. You know, Jesus, you know, there were people watching, you know, who put the money in the box, and, you know, there were people putting in loads of money, right? And then there was the woman who came and just put in the little thing, just the little mite that she had, the widow's mite. And he says, that's the one there. He says in verses 6 and 7, as we wrap this up, he says that they were insulting the poor. But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? Insulting the poor in favor of the rich who were taking advantage of them. And these are the ones that we give special treatment to, give special honor to. You know what? If you grew up in this country, it's in you. It's in me. It's the reality. This should be a challenging message. It should be, you know, help us to stop and think about how we see people and we judge them and we give special attention to those. And when we do that, and we can insult those that don't have a lot, insult those that aren't in that category. I like what John Corson said. He said, we're all guilty. And I agree with that. Of treating people differently depending on how we view them outwardly. But almost without exception, almost, he says, the irony is that the people we try to impress the most are those who care about us the least. While the people who really would be open to receiving from us are those for whom we think we don't have time. That's true. I think he nails it on the head there. People we, you know, think are the greatest, they don't even care. They don't even care about us. One more thing to be thankful for is this, that God doesn't show partiality. Peter opened his mouth. Peter was challenged to go and bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And the Jews said, you can't even think about going to the Gentiles. They're way, way beneath us. But God showed Peter. And this is Peter's summary. He says, how true it is that God does not show favoritism, partiality, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. It says in the book of Job that God is not partial to princes, nor does he regard the rich more than the poor, for they are all the work of his hands. All of them the work of his hands. My prayer is this, that God would help us, that he would open our eyes, that we could live this. Be careful. I think, you know, when you see someone and someone you don't know, don't have that immediate, instant judgment. Because you can't tell what their hearts are like just by the outward appearance. They could look great on the outside but be nothing on the inside. Or they look horrible on the outside and they have a heart of gold, a heart of faith, rich in faith. I think that sums it up pretty well. Let's all stand together and sing together, shall we?